Welcome to this week's edition of Holy Apostles Weekly Sermons.
Season of the Great Fast. And this particular day has several themes. The one that we are perhaps the most familiar with is cheese fair, right? It's the last day that we can eat any kind of cheese or dairy products until Pascha. It's kind of strange, even in the church's service books, it calls it cheese fair for the most part. I suspect it's because of our struggle with gluttony that we think of it in that way, that our focus tends to be the food that we can eat and the food that we will not be permitted to eat thereafter. But there are actually two other themes which I would say are more important to this particular commemoration. The first being the expulsion of Adam from paradise. So as we prepare ourselves to enter the season of the Great Fast, we commemorate the expulsion of Adam from paradise. Now, if you remember, last week was the commemoration of the second coming of the Lord and the righteous and final judgment. So if you put those together, you see this is actually the beginning, in a certain sense, this is the beginning of observances. And the last feast, which it says in the Triodion, the last feast is the Feast of the Final Judgment. But the reason that we commemorate today the expulsion of Adam from paradise is not so we can hold a grudge against Adam for the condition that we find ourselves in. But it is so that we can understand the conditions which we do find ourselves in. And more importantly, perhaps, to realize that we ourselves have contributed to that condition. We have not been part of the cure of the world, but we have rather been part of the problem. Adam, you recall, was created in paradise, and he was created by God, and he was given a helper, Eve, and they were given one commandment, and that commandment was to fast. Do not eat was the first commandment that God ever gave to the human race. And it was a very specific commandment. Do not eat this. You can have everything else in the garden, but do not eat this. And we know the sad result of that story, that Adam and his wife Eve disobeyed the commandment of God, and they did indeed eat. That is, they broke their fast, which was God appointed. And in their disobedience and in their gluttony, they lost paradise of bliss. They inherited, instead of immortality, they inherited corruption and death. And then they passed that on to all subsequent generations of the human race. And that's the condition that you and I find ourselves in. We have inherited corruption and death, and we live in this corrupt and dying world. But again, it's not so that we can hold a grudge against Adam and Eve and maybe wish that they had done something differently, or even in our pride assume, well, if I'd been there, I wouldn't have done that. But rather to realize that we ourselves have not contributed to the healing of the world. We have rather contributed to its brokenness. The corruption of the world remains corrupt and continues to increase because we have become participants in corruption. We have not fled from it. We have not strived to be healed from it. We have rather rejoiced and reveled in it. And so the church calls us to realize this about ourselves on this day as we enter the season of the fast, and to understand that in order to escape from this cycle of corruption and death, we must join ourselves to the new Adam. That whole story that I told you would have been utter hopelessness if it were not for the work of Christ, who is called by the church the new Adam, who came in perfect obedience, who came in fasting and prayer, and who came to overturn the law of corruption and death which was appointed to the human race, and who indeed overcame them. And so we enter not with the hopelessness, not with despair over our condition, but rather with hope in the Lord, that we would actually, by our joining ourselves to Him, by our fasting, by our obedience to the commandments, that we might at least display for God our desire to re-enter paradise. It's not that our fasting will give us paradise again, but that our fasting shows God that we desire it, that we would wish to re-enter our ancient homeland, that we are not content, like the prodigal son, with sitting in the pigsty and desiring to eat pig swill, but rather that we desire to return to our Father's house. The third theme, which is given to us in this gospel passage, which we read from St. Matthew's gospel, is forgiveness. How will we become worthy of re-entering paradise? How is it that we will become children of God again? Well, it's not by participating in corruption, which is what we typically have found ourselves doing. Rather by beginning with humility and repentance to turn to God. And in order to do that properly, we have to forgive. The Lord says, very clearly. If you forgive men their trespasses, then your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. One of the fathers says, you can see how terrible it is. Our salvation does not rest upon God, it rests upon us. That is, will we forgive those who have sinned against us, or will we not? And God Himself is waiting to see what we will do, to reward us or to condemn us according to the condition of our own hearts. The Lord says very clearly, if you forgive, forgiveness is your reward. But if you refuse to forgive, then you will not be forgiven. How, my brothers and sisters, how, after hearing the words of the Lord, can we actually hold grudges in our hearts? How can we remember wrongs that have been done to us? And how can we mull them over in our hearts and cultivate grudges and resentments and remembrance of wrongs and hatreds? How can we do it? But we do. And here is the Lord saying to us, if you will only forgive. He doesn't say fast for 40 days. He doesn't say stand up all night in prayer. He says forgive, and you will receive forgiveness. How do we continue to turn away from this commandment? And so the church appoints this day to be a day of forgiveness for us. Knowing our weakness, the church has given us one day a year to look at this commandment of the Lord squarely in the eye and to summon us together as a community so that we may look each other in the eye and we can say to each other, forgive me. You know that tonight is, we celebrate Forgiveness Vespers, and we begin our celebration of Great Lent having forgiven each other and having asked forgiveness of each other. And so I would simply close by saying, again, again, and again, I urge you to come to the service tonight. It is not possible for us to fast an acceptable fast to God if we do not first forgive our brothers and our sisters in the Lord and ask forgiveness from them for the sins we have committed against them. But rest assured, the Lord is faithful, and that if we will forgive with a honest and cheerful heart, if we will strive to forgive those who have offended us, and if we will strive to repent and to beg forgiveness of those whom we have offended, then truly we'll receive forgiveness of our transgressions from the Lord God Himself, and thus be given the ability to fast a God-pleasing fast. To God, the Holy Trinity, be all glory, honor, and worship unto ages of ages. Amen. Amen.